from the Shimanami Kaido in Japan.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show. Coming up this week, is cycling at its best going fast or going slow? Connor and I are polar opposites on this. Can we find the middle ground, or is Connor just wrong?
Oi! We've also got news of how machine learning could be used to plan better bike paths, Pogacar's epic contract. My Matthew Van Der Poel might be choosing to miss the Tour de France next year. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that New Zealand's Kate McCarthy and Germany's Jason Osborne took the honours at the World Esports Championships in Dubai.
For Osborne, it was his second title, you know, his first in 2020, propelled him from a rowing career to a pro cycling contract. But he's actually now just retired from pro racing and flipping back to rowing again, apparently.
We also learned that GCN has the coolest team car on the planet.
Yeah, we do.
Oh yeah, check out the new VW ID Buzz. It's a six-seater, fully electric and complete with an ollie to drive it.
Isn't it a five-seater?
Is it a five-seater?
It's a five-seater, yeah. anyway, it looks proper cool, doesn't it? Thank you, VW, for that. Well, your show had confirmation last week that Van Aert was indeed the squirrel in Belgium's Masked Secret Singer competition.
What?
Don't ask, mate. Now, Connor, you are just back from a week's bikepacking in Utah with none other than Ian Boswell. How was it?
Oh, absolutely amazing. It was really good to chat with Ian again. We used to train loads together in Nice.
You knew him, did you?
Yeah.
There you go.
So top bloke, absolutely amazing character. And the route we chose to do was just one of the best routes I've ever done bikepacking. It was like American bikepacking at its finest.
Really?
Yeah. First time I've ever bikepacked in America too. So
hang on a minute. It's American bikepacking at its finest, but that was a sample size of one.
Yeah.
No, I like it, mate. Go big.
Well, it's like the best place you could possibly go. We'll wait until the video's out. It's coming soon.
The video is coming soon. All right. Now, we were chatting this morning, weren't we, about your love of bikepacking and how much you've embraced the slower side of cycling. Is that a new thing since retirement from pro racing?
Yeah, I'd say it probably is a new thing. I mean, I always enjoyed going slow when I was racing, but more in the fact that when you're in like a really hard moment in a race and it eases up and you just really enjoy it and you're able to kind of like take a breath, look around, and you have this like feeling of survival that you've got through that moment.
It's still quite fast though, given it's in a pro race.
Yeah, but there's also really slow moments in pro races. Like I remember in Milan San Remo, it was honestly so slow for parts of it.
Right.
That my bum was getting sore because I just wasn't pedaling hard enough. And I was going back just doing wheeze because I needed to ride a bit. It was that easy. Yeah. And then obviously it's very, very hard at the end. I guess when you're like racing, like you're suffering so much that when you don't, when you decide to stop racing, you just kind of want to ride slowly and enjoy it. I do still enjoy riding fast every now and again, but I'd say I prefer riding slowly.
So we could call you Captain Slow now, couldn't we?
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough. I'm not always slow though, but yeah.
I mean, to be fair, we both dropped Alex in Sunday's video, didn't we? Boom, yeah. Now, I couldn't call myself Captain Fast for obvious reasons. I could call myself Captain Tryhard.
You're definitely Captain Tryhard.
Yeah, and I can enjoy bikepacking, right? Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love riding with the architect of slow cycling, Jack Thurston. We've got a GCN Plus video of that. In the GCN members section, shown here on YouTube. But I've never, ever prioritised that kind of cycling. I just want to go fast, right? And I think that is more true to the spirit of cycling.
Ah, now, come on. The bike has always been about more than speed. Take, for example, its role in the emancipation of women.
Bloody hell, mate. You've rocked out the big guns early in this debate, haven't you?
Well, there's no sense pussyfooting around, Si.
No.
Basically, the mass production of bikes in the 1890s gave women the freedom to travel without relying on men. And the bike came to symbolise the spirit of change.
I mean, yes, that is true. I was going to start talking about dopamine, but yeah, I mean, that is probably more important. And I do love that part of the history of the bike. And while it's far less significant in importance, I do want to point out that the world's first ever bicycle race preceded the emancipation of women, in your point, by about 20 years, meaning that actually cycling was very quickly hijacked by bike races. The pursuit of speed has always been a key part of it.
What was the world's first ever bike race?
Well, I'm glad you asked. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, okay, and I quote directly here, cycling as a sport officially began on May the 31st, 1868, with a 1,200-metre race between the fountains and the entrance of Saint-Cloud Park near Paris. The winner, because I can see you wondering, was James Moore, an 18-year-old expat Englishman who lived in Paris. And then, because you're still wondering, on November the 7th, 1869, the first city-to-city race was held between Paris and Rouen, and Moore was the winner of that one. Again, he covered 135 kilometres in 10 hours, 25 minutes.
I reckon we could have won that one.
Yep. With today's tech, probably we could have done. Although it might have been close for you.
All right. Look. I do really like riding slowly.
Yes.
You know, obviously. And aside from the obvious physical health benefits that just getting out on your bike brings.
Even riding slowly. Okay.
You know, I enjoy riding for the mental positives too. In all honesty, that's the main reason I ride. And you don't need to be going fast for this. So essentially, I just get really grumpy if I haven't ridden.
Really?
Yeah, deprive me of food, sleep and cycling, Si. And pretty quickly, things get ugly.
I'd quite like to see that happen.
Yeah. I get grumpy when I'm hungry and I don't ride my bike. But just being in nature, you know, it's good for your mental health. Yeah. As highlighted by the Mental Health Foundation here in the UK, multiple studies have linked access to nature, green spaces, national parks to an improvement in mental health, mood and life satisfaction.
I get that. I do get that. But I'm not sure that being on a bike adds all that much to gentle exercise, right? Just go for a walk.
Yeah, but you don't go as far when you walk. And you get less nature. It's like the bike is the easiest way to get out there.
Okay, all right. There are lots of reasons why I ride, okay? One of them is being in nature. It's just that nature's a bit more blurry for me because it's going past more quickly. Then the rest of the reasons basically revolve around speed / training, okay? So I get a real buzz off the exercise. I love the thrill of riding fast. I love the thrill of competition, although against myself mainly. I like the way it feels to get my heart rate up, zone 2 or above, and I definitely get more satisfaction from having gone faster. Plus, it takes less time, doesn't it?
What do you mean it takes less time? You can go like slowly for short bike rides.
Yeah, but what's the point in that?
It's relaxing. It's relaxing.
It's not really relaxing, though, is it? I spend the entire ride feeling frustrated that I can't go faster. That is not relaxing. Even on my cargo bike, I want to go faster.
What do your kids say to that?
They like it as long as I'm not doing skids. They don't like me doing skids. They're not really? They're not as much of a fan of getting sideways as I am. You know what, right? Years ago, we did a video with the psychiatry department of Oxford University. Okay, it was a massive privilege. While we were there, we did a little experiment with a device that measured brain activity. It was a skull cap. And on me, you can actually see that as my effort level increases, my brain activity decreases. So for me, doing hard intervals actually brings me peace.
That's weird. That's kind of weird. But I don't know. I reckon you're on your own there. Who else finds doing VO2 max intervals relaxing?
I can hear an avalanche of support in the comments. Did you know, by the way, sticking with high-intensity intervals, scientists are increasingly thinking that the theory about endorphins from exercise is actually just a small part of the picture of post-exercise buzz. And new research suggests that it actually comes from loads of different chemicals.
Okay.
Yeah, including dopamine, serotonin, neurotrophins, and also endocannabinoids.
All right.
There you go. But you've got to be exercising more than 70% of your max heart rate, so you won't get them.
Okay, that's fair enough. I get that. But you can do that for just a little bit. You know, you can do like a 2-minute effort up a short climb once you've warmed up. You got your endorphins and your happy chemicals gained. Then sit back, chill for the rest of the ride, enjoy the high whilst you're riding. It's a no-brainer stuff.
Ride while you're high.
Yeah, then you get to enjoy it while you're still cycling instead of sat on the sofa.
I mean, I can't argue with the logic. Go out for a slow ride, but do a really hard interval.
Yeah.
And then ride hard.
And then take it easy and chill. You're like Hank, you just have to ride hard everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I genuinely do. Like even like a long gravel race is too long and slow.
Really?
Yeah,
Do you not enjoy looking at the view?
Yeah, I really like enjoying looking at the view, but I don't need to look at it for that long. I just ride through it and be like, wow, isn't this place amazing? Every now and then I'll stop, put my feet down and have like an energy bar or something. But generally, no. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think at home? I mean, clearly there is no, like, one is better than the other here. Like, a mix of the two is cool, as long as you don't have to ride slowly for very long, because it's rubbish and boring.
You can see why Hank gives me a lot of stick.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'd be super interested to hear your thoughts on this one, because I'd like to know what proportion of people prioritise going fast versus going slowly and enjoying the ride. Yeah. So get involved in the conversation down below.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with a very interesting tech development, okay? So a team of researchers from the University of Toronto are using machine learning to try to understand how best to implement cycling infrastructure in order to benefit the most people.
So the team generated maps of theoretical future bike lane networks in Toronto, optimized according to two strategies. So one focused on the number of trips that could be taken using only routes with protected bike lanes in under 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. And the second, so it sought to maximize the number of people who had at least some connection to a bike path.
Okay, right. So the first one ended up with like a really high density, didn't it? Like a downtown network. The second was far more spread out. So by optimizing planning like this, the team thinks that they have found the best way to benefit everyone in a city by building bike lanes based on the best evidence for where and why they are needed. And they're sharing this data, this, aren't they, with Toronto city planners. So it looks quite a good way of, you know, finding out the best design. Well, potentially, it's a good way. I'm slightly reticent, okay? Because I would love to know how they weight the importance of completely segregated routes. Because I know that some people won't ride bikes at all until they're separated from cars, okay? So the odd bit of bike path here and there doesn't actually have a meaningful benefit, does it?
Yeah, good point. Also, we've got to say yet more evidence to show that building bike lanes increases the number of cyclists. Momentum magazine reporting that Cambridge, Massachusetts saw a 500% increase in bike volume after a lane was implemented, and a 300% increase in a half-mile radius around the bike lane.
That is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless only like two people were using it beforehand, in which case 500% is not that much. But anyway, over in the racing world, this year's Giro Tour and World Champ winner Tadej Pogacar has just signed a contract extension with his team UAE, Team Emirates. The new contract sees him staying with the squad for another 6 years, all the way through to 2030.
Wow.
It's quite hard to see him leaving that team, isn't it?
Yeah, that's mad. Matthew van der Poel interestingly signalled to the fact that he may skip the 2025 Tour de France in favour of a return to mountain biking. The Dutch super talent won the Tour of Flanders and Paris-Roubaix this season, but he had a more average summer by his standards, including the Tour. He was quoted as saying that he didn't enjoy the Tour too much, actually.
Whoa.
So he's kind of open to kind of carrying on with the aim of a world title.
Well, yeah, because I don't think Rwanda is going to suit him next year, is it? The Road Worlds. I think I was reading that it's quite a hilly course.
Hilly and at altitude.
Yeah, so yeah, maybe he does. Oh, he's just, he can do no wrong, that guy.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see him back on the mountain bike, though.
It would be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. So yeah, I feel like there's some unfinished business there.
Last bit of racing news. We thought we'd give a nod to our sockless cousins in the triathlon world.
Indeed. So the Ironman World Championships concluded in Kona at the weekend, kind of having started in Nice a month ago, didn't it? Anyway, we won't get into that. The upshot, Patrick Langer won the men's race in a blistering time, although the bike course record was broken by another rider, Sam Laidlow.
It was a good year for Canyon. Both riders were using their Speedmax CFR, as was Laura Phillip, who won the Ironman women's event.
Yeah, last month Nice.
Yeah.
Now, Mark from GTN was explaining some of the tech the riders are using is properly next level. The UCI would be banning stuff left, right and centre.
Last week, Chris Hoy announced that he was suffering from stage 4 prostate cancer. Since hearing this very sad news, I've just been so blown away with the strength of character, resolve and humility that the Olympic champion has shown. I mean, What a man. It's truly incredible.
It is, actually, yeah. What's also incredible is that since his announcement, there apparently has been a sevenfold increase in the number of visits to the National Health Service website here in the UK, offering advice on prostate cancer symptoms, basically, which actually, you've got to say, is an incredibly positive outcome from that horrible situation, isn't it? Because getting men in particular to pay attention to their health and to their symptoms is a constant issue, isn't it? So, there's some... I mean, it was never in doubt that Chris Hoy was going to be able to, you know, motivate and inspire people, and he will continue to do so. Sure. But that is a really good short-term...
Yeah, incredibly inspirational.
Now, before we leave cycling shorts for this week, Connor... You are riding with the GCN Zwift Club this week.
I'm Zwifting, yeah, and putting my bike back in legs to good use.
Is it going
to
be a really slow bike ride?
I say this all the time, and everyone takes the mickey out of it for me here at GCN, but I'm actually feeling pretty good on the bike at the moment. I generally am. So let's do medium pace, shall we?
To be fair, it's banded, isn't it?
It is banded.
So remember that. If you start riding and you're trying really, really hard, you won't move up in the peloton.
Yeah.
But equally, if you stop trying, you also won't slip back. That's the beauty of it. So you just do your own thing. Connor will ride...
Medium.
Connor will do 2 minutes flat out, get that buzz going,
yeah,
and then sit there on his cannabinoid high.
So, yeah, join along, 8.30 UK time. Not 8.30, 6.30 UK time. I'm quite into country and western music at the moment, so I'll be playing that in the background if you want to get involved, play a bit of country and western.
There you go. Maybe you could share your playlist in advance, Connor.
That's a good shout, yeah. It's full of country and western and the odd bit of Beyonce. She's like doing a bit of country at the moment. She's going like, you know. Who doesn't like a bit of Beyonce? Right, it's time for hack/bodge. The time of the show when you guys get your chance to admit your hacks or bodges to the GCN Upload, and we decide if it is a hack or a bodge.
We do indeed. Right, we're going to kick things off this week from JoJo 1976, seasonal hack or bodge. I mean, it's neither, is it really? It's just some seriously impressive pumpkin art. Although JoJo says, I wasn't sure whether to bother submitting the Eddie Merckx because it doesn't look much like Eddie. But, you know...
I mean, I think it's pretty good effort.
Yeah,
that.
And I think the Merckx underneath is a giveaway.
Yeah.
So I think that's a hack. That's absolutely brilliant.
Definite hack from me. There is no way I'd achieve that. I was carving pumpkins at the weekend and I just about got an eye hole through. The rest just like, I don't know how you get the detail of that.
That's truly scary though, Connor, when it looks like it's been done by a man-child. Yeah, no, I think that's a hack. Thank you, JoJo, for sending that one in. Who's next, Connor?
So we've got Breeze Bikes. So this is the underside of a shoe, and they are saying, having ripped the bottoms of shoe covers multiple times during a season, got new shoe covers and added no-slip rubber pads that I use for dress heels. The pads are easily replaceable, inexpensive, and good grip.
Now, I've not worn dress heels before, so I don't know exactly where the no-slip rubber pad goes. Is it under your toes, or is it under the shoe?
I think it's under the ball of your foot. So you're like,
inside or outside the shoe?
I think it's outside.
Outside the shoe, okay. I haven't worn dress heels before, but I have ripped many an overshoe.
Yeah.
And so anything that prevents that toe...
is a good idea.
I think that's amazing. So yeah, Breeze Bikes, that is a hack. Yeah. 100% from me.
Hack and a half. That's my...
Whoa! Hack
and a half, yeah. That's my weak point on my overshoes. It's always where it goes.
There you go then. Well, let's get some dress heels. No, not actually dress heels. What do we want?
We want the bits that you put
the
on.
The no-slip rubber pad, yeah. Yes.
I mean, okay. We can get dress heels as well, if you want.
Do you think they make them in your size?
Probably not. I mean, yeah. You can find anything on the internet these
that
days.
That is true. That is true. All right, cool. Well, we're doing well then. We've got two out of two so far.
Next
we're
going to
finish up with Jimbo. Whoa.
This is solid.
A homemade pannier rack.
I like
this. Did you ever need such a thing? It's not like a high value item, but Jimbo says this rear rack uses $6 of aluminium strip from the hardware store, only needs one cut, four holes drilled, and a handful of select bends. It was designed to hold my large closed cell foam sleeping pad on bike packing trips.
I like that.
Do you?
I do like it. It feels like it's... it only weighs 290 grams, It's not that heavy.
I know, I'm just trying to see what bike it's on. Like, the bike looks beautiful. It's like this really cool gravel bike. And then there's just this, like, thing bolted onto the back that doesn't really sort of keep the same vibes going.
I like it.
It lets the side down a little bit.
I worry the bit of the back might... Nah, I think that's solid. I think that'd be solid as a rock. It's really hard to judge from a photo on this because it looks really good. But my experience of racks
good?
Is that they can look good when they're static, but it's all on how they ride.
Okay.
They can be an absolute nightmare.
All right.
I'm...
You're more of a rack connoisseur than
I
me.
Do,
I'm just
like
looking at this objectively, looking at that looks like someone's made that in their garage and it's not very pretty.
But racks serve a purpose. They're not designed to be pretty.
Everything on a bike is designed to be pretty. Like, come
it's
on.
A practical application. It's carrying a lot of stuff on a trip, that.
All right, are you going to say hack then?
I'm going to say hack.
It's
a $6 rack. Some of those racks are nearly $200.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, the really good ones. The really good ones.
Okay, all right, Jimbo, I'm softening to your to your creation. Are you serious? $200 for a rack?
Yeah, I mean, a really good one. But yeah, I mean, if that serves the purpose of a really good one.
I mean, it just goes to show the last time I looked to buy a pannier rack, I'm thinking it's like £20.
Well, yeah, there's obviously the £20 ones as well, but it's like...
What's your oyster?
It's a pretty solid tank.
Sky's
ones.
Your limit. I'm going to say bodge.
Bodge, okay.
I'm sorry, Jimbo. I'm sorry. This is purely on aesthetic reasons, but I just couldn't have that attached to my bike permanently.
I'm going to say hack.
Okay.
I'll balance the odds.
All right. Okay,
there on Jimbo.
Well, we will leave it there for this week. Please keep those hacks and bodges coming in. Hang on a minute. I tell a lie, there is one more.
Oh,
We've got one more from Andrew London.
Nice, easy one. That's a hack.
What is it?
Is that a bike? It's a very small handlebar. On a door.
On a door? Are we thinking it's a door handle?
Door handlebar.
Door handlebar. No, I mean, I quite like it. It's a bit quirky. The brake levers would annoy me.
Imagine, I'm just thinking what Stacey would say if I put that on one of our doors.
Give it a try, mate.
I should try.
Yeah, record the response.
I think this would be a hack if you could turn the bars and open the door. That would be a massive hack.
And if the brake was connected to a doorbell. So
that would be really
lever.
Cool.
Yeah, okay, otherwise we're saying botched. There, okay. Andrew said this is seen in Ortigia in Sicily. So, we're saying botched.
Saying botched, but let us know, Andrew, if it opened the door or if it was just a static handlebar on a door. And if there is a bell system.
Okay.
I doubt it, but...
Well, that really is it now. I'm so glad that we hung around for that last one. Absolutely brilliant. But keep those hacks and bodges coming in. Perhaps, Jimbo, you could tell us how effective your rack is and whether I'm being a bit mean.
Yeah.
And we're off to go buy some high heels. No, this no slip rubber pads.
No, high heels.
For the
high heels. I thought we'd get high heels.
Okay, all right. It's time now for caption competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a very witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second. But as always, it is results first. We gave you this quite amusing looking photo of two Ineos. What's the second part of the team name?
Grenadiers. For some reason, I can't say that name. Grenadiers.
Yeah, two Ineos Grenadiers. Yeah, there we go. Playing the drums. The winner is... It almost feels like we should have a drum roll.
We should have a drum roll. I mean, we don't have a drum roll now.
There we go.
I need my sticks.
Lord Bertos, 8124. Congratulations to you. Ineos trying to drum up a strong strategy.
Oh, I like that.
There you go. And that was before we released the video about why Ineos are in total chaos.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's very cool. Get in touch, Lord Bertos, and we will get a water bottle out to you. Before we move on to this week's photo, Connor, I did notice, so last week we celebrated someone being our first ever double winner of the caption competition.
Oh, yeah.
But no. So Raymond van der Ben said, I hate to brag, but it is not the first time there is a back-to-back winner in caption competition. I won episodes 435 and 436.
Fair play.
Nevertheless, cracking caption again, and welcome to the club of back-to-back winners. It was getting a bit lonely Raymond said. There you go.
Congratulations. I mean, I'd like to say the same, but I feel I'm always on the back foot with the captions.
Well, go on then. It's time for you to prove your worth. Well.
This week's one. So this is from the Tour of Guangxi, the women's race. So this is race winner Sandra Alonso for Seretizit WNT with her teammates. I'm going to go for Seretizit debuting new heat sensor methods. It's not good, is it?
I mean,
to be fair, you gave me a bit off camera.
See, I mean, yeah, it sounded better in my head, I'll be honest. If you can't see this photo because you're listening to the GCN show, it looks like one of her teammates is checking her temperature by placing a hand on her forehead. That was the thinking, wasn't it?
That was the thinking. I'm not sure. Well, I'm trying to get a good one. I'm wondering what she's looking at over here.
Yeah. Maybe
she's decided to ride home.
I mean, this is a terrible, terrible effort from us this week, isn't it? If you think you can do better, then get involved. And yes, put your caption in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner.
Right then, time for comment of the week. And we've picked out some of the best comments from last week's videos, starting off with last week's show.
Yep.
So Rice K1 wrote, literally just stop buying them. Consumers have all the power, that's all the responsibility, but consumers don't want to accept that.
Well, yeah. This is relating to about how do you manage to lower, or how do you deal with escalating bike prices? And that is a good point, but I suppose the issue is that lots of people are happy to pay higher prices.
Yeah.
So it kind of doesn't really work, that, does it?
It's quite hard to not... If you really want to buy a bike, it's quite hard not to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you can't go cycling.
Yeah. So I totally get your point, but I just don't think that's going to work, unfortunately. Although, some good news on that front. Tailspin 80 said, I bought a Giant Contend AR1 in February for under £1,500. It's on sale online for £1,329.30 today. Really nice bike, under 10 kilos, Shimano 11x2, drivetrain, hydraulic disc, etc. I'm sure I could have paid 10 times more to lose a few kilos, but I could do the same by eating a bit less. So yeah, that sure comes up a lot, doesn't it? It's all about the rider and not about the bike, isn't it?
Yeah, and the top spec stuff's nice, but I mean, the budget and the mid-tier stuff too does it serve its purpose and exceedingly well.
100%, so, yeah. You missed a good Hacklebotch last week, Connor. Someone had created some onboard storage that they called their muff. anyway, A1 White said, oh my God, I'm in tears. The muff is incredible. To which the creator of the muff, T-Don 2, said, it's my proudest creation and that takes my children into account. Glad you enjoyed it.
I love that. Oh, you've got to be proud of the muff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they clearly were. One of the most amusing parts of my week last week.
All right, swiftly moving on to Is This the End of Team Ineos? It's a really fantastic video from Dan delving into some of the issues and the potential challenges for Ineos moving forward and the aims for Team 2. Mark Smith, WLC, wrote, this is without doubt GCN at its best. Dan's skill in researching and developing in-depth topics coupled with his knowledge and expertise and his peerless presentation talent.
Peerless presentation talent? Seriously, come on, Mark.
Thank you, guys. Keep them coming. Nice one, Mark.
Yeah, that was super cool, that. And yes, Dan was brilliant in it. It was also a cracking edit, wasn't it, Isaac?
It was a really good edit,
yeah, as well. And then M.H. Gregor said, very nice to hear Luke Rowe speaking so eloquently and lucidly. I'm sure he's going to be very successful in his next steps. So, yeah, Luke, off to... As a direct sportif, isn't he, I think?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he'll be amazing there. And he is a proper... He's just a proper nice guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Smart bloke.
Yeah,
so, sure. So, yeah, if you've not seen that one, then do check it out. Then you and me went for a bike ride with Alex.
We did.
On his new retro Pinarello with a brand new Durace group set. Matt Acton Varian said, to borrow an analogy from the car world, riding a slow bike fast is much more fun than riding a fast bike slow. What do you think about that, Connor?
I agree with it. It is fun, but it's also a lot more uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, you see, I don't agree with it because I can see in a car, like, cornering or whatever on the limits of a, you know, of a pants car is better than driving a Porsche 911 slowly around a corner. But on a bike, you're the one pedaling, aren't you? And actually, it's much more rewarding to have your pedal stroke go further and faster, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun on descents when you're on an old bike and you're like whizzing down something. Like,
yeah.
But it's also very, very scary.
It's very, very,
very scary. And I think that for me outweighs the fun factor.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
But I can see the appeal. I can see the appeal.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Thrashing a retro bike, though, as hard as it can take, is more thrilling than doing Zone 1 and Zone 2, according to Matt.
Well, yes. But then it's... you can't compare it, though, can you? Because anyway, never mind.
We
but
shall I, move on I like, and agree to
I like
disagree.
The fact that Matt agrees with what I was saying earlier in the video.
Yeah.
So that is very true. I like this one as well from Just Some Dude. I like the bike. Don't ever apologise for the passion project. That... something to live by, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Don't ever apologise for the passion project.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes you might have to if it's like something a bit offbeat, but I get the principle of it.
Yeah,
yeah. Right, what's coming up on the channel, Connor?
Right then, on Thursday we've got how to do heat training. So Ollie is going to run you through all the kind of the basics to get you started, and how to do heat training with core, which is I'm really interested in. I've
well,
tried
yeah.
heat training myself, but
it worked bloody well for you, didn't
works
it?
Works really well, but it's tough. I think tougher, I made it tougher than it needed to be. And I think the way Ollie is going to explain it now, using a core sensor, which many of the pros are using, will make it a lot easier. And you can potentially just do it in the sort of indoor training you're already doing.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like, yeah, it just gives you a lot more information and a better tool, really, to get the most out of it.
Other than just getting really, really hot.
Other than essentially wearing a sleeping bag on Zwift.
Yeah, okay, all right. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we've actually got a bit of a gravel double header. You know, I think I've been talking to you about this for weeks now, but the Gravel World Championships video is coming out. Do you know what, right? The UCI, super cool. We've had a conversation with them. So yeah, that's going to be, that's a proper video, that one. So very much looking forward to you seeing that one. But then also, off the back of our gravel bike slow, we were doing a bit of thinking, right? And actually... gravel bikes are dead. Long live the bike. That's coming to you on Sunday.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you look scared. I'm just
like, what? Why is thinking about whether to enter into this debate or not at this precise moment in time?
Let's save it for next week, Connor. But yeah, no, I mean, I thought it through. I think I present my case, okay. Hopefully articulately, maybe not peerlessly. Anyway, yeah, there we go. Cool, all right. Well, I think that brings us neatly to the end of the GCN show, doesn't it?
Yeah, thank you very much for watching, as always.
Yeah.
Get your caption competitions in the comments below.
Indeed. Give the video a big thumbs up if you have enjoyed it, whether you've been listening to it or watching it. If you've been listening to it, you haven't had to see the fact that both of us have been desperately need a haircut. So that's good.
I mean, I've been sleeping along the Colorado River for the last... So I've got an excuse.
I've got no excuse whatsoever.
See you next time.